Recording. Yep.
Yeah, well, come take a seat, big man.
Thank you, little man.
I was in the shot, right?
Yep. Just made a move. Always just move an inch. Oh, yeah. Are you checking me out?
Yep.
Come on, buddy, come on. Wake up. Come on.
Good.
Can't be tired. Give me 10 minutes. Maybe 12.
12. 13.
Sorry.
Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets Podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
My brother's going to hate how loud that one is, but we're rolling, Chris. It's an aggressive title.
Well, because you're an idiot.
You're an idiot. That's what I told my mate. You're an idiot for managing your own property. And I thought it would be a fantastic episode
to start
having some discussions.
Let's try and bring the volume down to something reasonable. I get it, Kurt. Love the energy. So in today's episode, you're an idiot for managing your own investment property. So we're not talking about selling and buying here today. We're talking about you've got an investment property and you're deciding or thinking about, or you've already done, the decision to manage probably directly without a property manager.
Yes.
Yep.
Now, the reason for sort of the harsh and the direct nature is, you know, if you want to be called silly, you're silly for managing it if you've got a gentle heart. But it is because me passionately, this investment, you wouldn't see Elon Musk, for example, managing his own property if he had one.
I'm sure he does, but no, I'm pretty sure he would not manage it.
Often, you know, just say you run a kitchen, for example, and you've got all these staff members and
yep.
The chef decides to leave. You're not going to, in a five-star restaurant, you're not going to be the one going in there and trying to cook.
Yeah.
No.
No, definitely not. So, nice coffee. You'll enjoy your coffee every day?
I do enjoy my coffee every day, Chris.
How much does like a large coffee cost you each day?
I reckon we're starting to get up to $6-$7.
All right, it gets a bit pricey. So how many would you have on a given week, during your work week?
Normally, before trying to get a property, about, you know, one a day.
Yeah. I'll be the same. So one a day, so seven a week at $7. It's interesting, isn't it? Sort of adds up fast.
Is that just because you're trying to tell me how good your coffee making skills are, Chris?
They are free for you. So that's you can just payload the $7 across from my account.
Anyway, we're going on a bit of a tangent. So what we want to quickly go through is the pros of actually managing your own property, because please also know there are always exceptions to all the rules, and sometimes managing your property actually works out in some very, very small, can work out in some very small circumstances, particularly if you're trying to bend the rules a little bit.
I think I think the one that it more often, I wouldn't say works, more often we see people doing it is with family and friends.
Yeah.
And I think if some people I know have purchased property even for their kids to move into, they're like, well, why would I have a property manager doing it? My own kids are moving into it and they're paying some rent, or friend or family, you know, that I know for a long time are going to rent it off. Not saying it's perfect, but those are probably scenarios that I probably don't have as big a trepidation versus when they're going to manage off because they're trying to save costs, and then they've got all sorts of weird and wonderful people out there and all other legislation things. So pros of doing it, apart from maybe the friends, what other things would you put as pros?
So on the surface, it appears you could save money because you're not paying the property management fee, which is somewhere in Sydney, you're looking around 5%. If you're less than 4%, I doubt you're getting the service. There are a lot of property management sort of AI ones or firms, or where they will not actually properly check the property. They actually won't go out. They just do all the surface level stuff. So saving money there, doing trades, cash in hand jobs.
Yeah, so I talked about this earlier offline. So yeah, potentially certain people who are looking to manage a property themselves may also, then this is not how you should do it, may also be looking to sometimes just fix the things themselves. So if a tap or a sink or something breaks, they'll go in and fix it, so it doesn't cost a trade or a call-out fee. Or potentially there might be trades that they utilise, but instead of paying the full whack of the invoice, they say, oh, I'll give you a cash. You know, when you've got a property manager doing it, none of that stuff should ever happen, or we would say it basically doesn't happen. because those people are held account. There's all sorts of other things that go on as well.
I was going to say, if you have a friend or family that are staying there, you've got direct access.
Yep.
So you could rock up anytime if this is sort of off the books.
Yep.
Or even if
it's not friends and family, say something goes wrong in the property, you're going to be the one specifically going in and having a look at the property and having a look at what's gone wrong.
Yep.
Versus when you have a property manager involved, it's highly unlikely. You can actually go on, but highly unlikely you'll ever go back, because the property manager, if needed to go, they'll go themselves, because that's part of what you're paying them to do.
Yeah. And even if it's on the books with family and friends, generally, you know, they can like come over if you need for whatever reason.
Definitely family and friends part's going to be overall, but that's on the basis it stays amicable.
Yes. That's,
family and friends sometimes just fall out.
There's a lot of people that say, I do forever, death to us part, and it all falls apart. So,
and some people say, don't do business with friends and family, right? There's reasons behind that.
However, any
other pros?
To be honest, can't really see any. Please comment if you think we've missed any pros about managing the property by yourself.
Yeah. On to the cons, right?
The cons of managing by yourself, but this is also pros for having a property manager.
Yeah, so what I want to talk about is actually listing the property itself.
Yes.
Yeah, so when you go, if you're doing it yourself, you can get a listing on REO Domain. Typically, you're going to pay the same amount or more, do you think, in your experience for the adverts?
You would typically pay more, because when a real estate company is using REO Domain, they have a package.
Yep. And then they on pass it cost you, but at a lower, effectively they're getting a lower rate.
Yeah, because they're obviously doing it on bulk, they get cheaper rates.
Things like photos, you know, when we see people manage the property themselves, typically they're just taking photos on their phone.
Yep.
And the quality is not as good. The way the advertising's written up is also, I see some that are done by themselves, and there's literally like just 6 dot points, and even the dot points aren't sentences, like aircon, balcony.
And I think people, even though sometimes, even when you're looking for a property, trying to find a property, you see sort of the same words being used, the same phrases. But I think people underestimate the value of how important it is, even when you're seeing the same stuff by professional copywriters or AI professional copywriters, compared to someone just putting like aircon, balcony, carpet,
lights. And then the other part, so you can go advertise yourself directly. The inquiries you get through, so you'll have, you know, people, you know, not your family and friends are talking about here, people inquiring. There can be people who they've been rejected from every single real estate agent or property manager under the sun, because, you know, they've done bad things to other rental properties they know in the industry. They apply to you. You don't have that knowledge. You're not aware of that. So they will look at it opportunistically. They'll target your advertisements hard and look to move. I'm not saying it's all bad, but there is probably a bit more risk associated to the quality of tenant you could potentially be attracting.
100% agree. The bond and trust account, so you can't have that money just sitting in your own bank account.
True.
You need a trust account, which needs to be audited. The receipts need to be done professionally, properly. There are some heavy fines if things are not done correctly, particularly in the financial space.
Yep.
Also, if the funds are misused, even if it's accidentally misused, massive fines.
Yep.
I was going to say, we've got time and legal are the next two big things. Yep. And I think I'll start on time.
You do time and I'll do legal. Go for it.
Is the time, people think, the cons is, if something goes wrong and you do have a tenant in there, the time that you've got to be at the beck and call.
Have you provided the right emergency trade services? Even what are you liable for? What is actually the tenant able to claim, not claim?
The mental stress, I think, of actually knowing. And I made this reference to insurance. It's like, okay, things may go well, and most of the time, they probably will go wrong.
Yep.
Well, however, when things go wrong, they go wrong. And in real estate, because it's a high value dollar transaction, even if it's just one 2-bedroom unit in the Sydney property market, if that gets messed up by the tenant, moving into the legal side, where are your rights? How much time and effort and energy do you have? You might be having kids at this stage, or you might be having a heavy day at work, and you need to still be able to be there for the tenant. Yeah, that definitely is the legal expectation.
For you to be there. So, yeah. And I think also it's that time of having to go back and forth to the property. Things are going well, eating up your time.
Well, Chris, I was going to say, you want to talk about legal.
Go on.
I want to ask you is a question the audience, if they're juggling, is how much of the laws they should know. But a question is, what is the property management real estate legislation called?
I don't know.
You don't know. Now, if you don't know...
Do you know?
I do know.
Go on, what is it?
The Tenancies... I've messed it up. The Tenancies Act 2010, I think it is. And I even still haven't got that right. So, if... I'm not
a property manager, so it's okay.
But if you don't actually even know the Legislation Act...
Yeah.
Then how are you meant to know what is in every single law and all the case and common laws that will actually also affect the individual laws?
Yeah.
And I think if you don't know that, you can open yourself up to... massive trouble.
Yeah, I was going to talk about the dovetailing of that is legislation. There's obviously requirements what contractually has to be in.
Residential Tenancies Act 2010.
Well, thank God.
It's not written down, I just kind of...
Sure it isn't. But legality, so not only is the contract between yourself and the tenant need to be, you know, legislation that is bound, but also there is updates to legislation as and when. And property managers are provided that, you know, they're part of REI New South Wales, we're in New South Wales. They quite often, they'll be informed that, it then gets passed through. They'll have a CRM system to make sure it's tracked and everything there. So there's no change in legislation that you can't be caught unaware of. Also means that if something goes wrong, to be insurance, something goes wrong and you just, maybe sign a bit of paper between you and somebody to say they're going to rent it off at a certain amount per week and this is the bond, that ain't going to hold up in court. And your liability is going to be far, far higher.
Well,
potentially be sued.
And what about, I know people have gone to NCAT, which if you don't know what NCAT is, then
again,
Yep. If you have to go to NCAT, sometimes they're fighting over $200.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes that is like, are you going to miss out on a whole day of work
For
$200, which is getting fought over.
Yeah, wow.
And you might be 100% entitled to, but you've got to make sure you process the documents right. And so I think sort of to round this up, we're probably going to actually talk about how to pick a property management team in another episode.
Yeah. And I was going to say, so part of this topic came up as a client of mine recently purchased an investment, and she said to me, do you think I should manage the investment myself? Because some of her friends are talking about it. And her thought was, she's just managing one property. Sort of like, how hard, I've just got to manage the one property.
Yeah.
And so this isn't to pick on her, because I know that she's actually a big follower. She listens to every episode. Definitely not pick on her. Oh, but it's more...
Thank you. I was calling my friend an idiot, not yours.
But it's more the fact of, yeah, exactly. It's more the fact of, these are all the things I think people can, they can look at the amount of, we're talking about the money, right? So let's say it's $1,000 a week you're renting it for.
Yep.
So that's $52,000 a year. 5% fee, it's about $2,600. Yeah, you can break that down to what the
week is. So $2,600, if you divide that by 52 weeks, equals $50 per week. Then if you divide that by 7 days, because there's no rest day even on the Sunday, it works out to be about $7 per day, which happens to be about one cup of coffee.
I just looked that back.
Comedian who geniuses.
Who would have known done that? Timing.
And I think
for the price of a coffee a day,
you don't have to worry about it.
Your investment property, even if you've only got one, you actually only have one. So do it well. Do it properly. Don't have issues. Don't get sued. Don't have, you know, non-payments going through. For a cost of a day, skip that coffee or skip the croissant or whatever it might be.
Because once again, not everyone gets $1,000. Sometimes some people are only getting $500 a week.
We usually have a broad stroke. So, all right, beautiful. That wraps it up nicely. Three quick cues.
Perfect.
Are we rapid fire one of us, or are we going back and forth?
I'm going to rapid fire to you, Chris. I want to go. First question.
Yep.
If you're new to this, there's no excuses or explaining your answers. It's just a quick fire question.
Punchy answers.
Okay. Would you ever become a PM if that was the only real estate role available and that's all you could do?
No.
Perfect. Two, how would you improve the REA and domain search functions, buying or selling, or renting?
Categories to select from in terms of things that are in the property for people to select and choose from. So I am just going to say, like, there's things like pools, but there's not courtyard. You can't select that. You can't select a balcony as having it. So just more selection boxes would be
beneficial. Hopeless at this explaining thing.
And question three.
I wasn't actually defending.
Ned Brockman, who is this incredible amazing runner, he has recently, he tried to break the record for running 1,600 kilometres in 10 days. Yep. Unfortunately, it took him 13, but a massive effort.
That's huge.
Would you rather do with 1 month of training, a full triathlon, 3.8K swim, 180K bike ride, 42K run, or 1,600 kilometres in 10 days?
Triathlon. Jesus, are you mad? Are you mad? Is anyone saying yes to that second month? Anyway. Okay. Question for you. You had a property, nice property, it's over sort of near the beach. Would you Airbnb it or just standard lease it?
Short-term lease.
Short-term lease. All right, if you had to choose a property in the same complex, one is on the ground floor with a courtyard, again near the beach. The other one is on the top floor with a small balcony. Which one are you going for? I finally got you to pause on one. This takes me a while to get you actually think.
Top floor.
Top floor.
Does it have a lift?
It's defending, it sounds like. yes. Anyway, what is... You ran a marathon recently, a couple of weeks ago now.
Yep.
What was your time?
5 hours and 43 minutes, and I came 11th last.
And would you do it again?
Oh, you gotcha.
Oh, wow.
If I could do one in a month, I would.
Really?
Yep.
Because... Oh, we shouldn't defend, but I'm actually interested.
Oh, okay, I ran the first 26 kilometres in about 2.5 hours, and I thought I could actually do it in just under 4.5, between 4 and 4.5.
Yeah, you're on time, yeah.
And my body crashed, and I did it in 5 hours and 40 minutes. So I still completed it, but there's something burning inside me that I want to finish it. I want to run. I want to get under the 5 hour mark, and I'm not going to be an Olympian.
Have you picked the marathon you're doing yet?
I've been trying to find them, but trying to find a set.
Let me try and find one that I can do as well.
You heard that first.
Last time there was a clash. We'll see if we can get one that's actually not a clash for me.
Yeah. I'll give you an extra, maybe a little bit more lead up time.
Well, that wasn't lead up. It was just that weekend I couldn't do.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know, but to train.
No, I ain't training. I'm ready to go. All right. Thank you all for dropping by. City Broken Up. It's going to give you a piece of homework. We're loving all the new followers coming through, but all those new followers, hopefully enjoy the content.
Yep.
You can share this with one person if you're on Spotify or Apple
Provide
Podcast,
a five star thing on Spotify.
YouTube, just share it forward. You can click a button, share, and send it to that person who's looking to buy or sell a property or maybe managing an investment property for them to listen to. Thanks for dropping by.
Turns out I was all right for once in my life.
With what?